Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. Joining me today is 10-year NBA veteran Mo Spates, who has suited up for the Philadelphia 76ers, Memphis Grizzlies, Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors, LA Clippers, and Orlando Magic. He won a championship at the NCAA level and the NBA level. You can follow him on Twitter at MoSpates16. Mo, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just staying out the way, man. Just staying safe and being around family and friends.
For sure. Before we get into your NBA career and journey, I have to ask you a question about our Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You and I are both from the Tampa Bay area and grew up huge fans of the Bucs. Just a few months ago, we were talking about Jameis Winston's future with the Bucs, and I know I was worried they were going to give him a big long-term deal. Thankfully, I was wrong, and the Bucs instead went out and got Tom freaking Brady. How excited are you about Brady to the Bucs?
Oh, man, that's kind of like a, for everybody around the area, a Bucs fan, it's kind of like surreal, like kind of like a dream, like to get the best quarterback who ever played a game come to your town. It's gonna be crazy. Tampa area, the whole state of Florida is gonna be amazing, man. But to piggyback off of that, man, Jameis did a lot of great things for us, man. And for Jameis, I can't wait to see where he land now, or even a guy like Jameis even take a backup role from a guy like Tom Brady. I know you can learn a lot from him, but it's probably going to be hard for him because he's been starting quarterback since he got in the league. But a situation like that, man, I'll take a back seat and learn for the best of ever did it.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, you know, Jameis is young enough and Brady's old enough to where I would have loved to see him sign on a deal like that and take over whenever Brady's done. But I get that he wants to start, and hopefully he can like pull a Ryan Tannehill and go to a team that maybe doesn't have a great starter. And I mean, I know he's been working out a ton this offseason. He got LASIK. Hopefully he can take that next step. It was just last year, you know, I was saying thankfully I was wrong just because last year it was tough watching all the turnovers, but he's still so young and developing and stuff still. So I do think he can go somewhere else and, you know, have a breakout type season and maybe, you know, get a big payday the following summer.
But you think with the turnovers and all that kind of stuff, you got to understand, like, a lot of them, not all of them was on him, though.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, guys missing balls and guys not catching balls, that's kind of on the receivers, but as a quarterback, like you said, yeah, it's going to always be on the quarterback, and that's the worst thing about it. But
it is true, too. They didn't have great defenses either, so they'd be out of games, and he'd be trying to play catch-up and throwing crazy passes. And, you know, I get he wasn't in the best position at times either, so it definitely wasn't all Jameis's fault. You're right.
Yeah, especially when he's on. Back 500 points, come on, man. Guys don't really do that.
Yeah.
You know, so for people to – I know people always talk bad about him because of interceptions, but let's talk about when he's doing good, too. No, it's not always just the interceptions. I say probably between 15 and 20 of those interceptions was probably on him. But all the other ones, I don't think that. So the guy did a great job, man, and he got a long career ahead of him, man. I just hope you get a right situation or even stay and just back up for a couple of years.
For sure. Yeah, his highs are very high, and then his lows are low. It's crazy. It's interesting to watch. Definitely entertaining. But let's talk basketball now. As I mentioned, you grew up in Florida. When did you have your big growth spurt, and when did you start taking basketball seriously?
All right, my first growth spurt I really had was going from 8th grade to 9th grade. I think I was 5'9", maybe in the 8th grade, and I jumped to like 6'4", my freshman year. Then that summer, so I got a crazy growth spurt then. And then my first year ever playing basketball was my sophomore year in high school. I played JV, then I moved up to varsity at the end of the year. Then my first year playing varsity full was my junior year. So I started late because I played baseball and basketball. Baseball and football was my sport. I love baseball a lot. And then basketball, I just got too tall and just said, man, let me just try it out. I loved it, and Coach Moon helped me out. At Gibbs High School, he helped me out and helped me develop my game, and big shout out to him.
And then you went on to play 2 years with the Florida Gators. Your first year at UF, the team won the national championship. You played alongside Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer. You guys were coached by Billy Donovan. That was the Gators' second title in a row. What was it like to be part of such a dominant team?
Oh, man, coming into that, just seeing those guys winning the championship, kind of got like a little starstruck to see that. Oh man, I just seen y'all holding up the trophy on stage and be a part of it. So those guys are like rock stars, man, and be able to be a part of that and see those guys work, see how they prepare themselves, and especially the guys who play in my position, just see how they work and see how they like prepare themselves for each game and just how mentally and tough those guys is, man. And it just taught me a lot so much. And to have a coach like Billy Donovan taking over, leading us to another championship, it was amazing to be a part of that, just be a part of games in general.
Well, the Gators also won the college football national championship in 2006 and 2008. That was when Tim Tebow was there. That had to be such a fun time to be a Gator and be on campus. What was that like?
That's what I'm saying. Gainesville was a tight town when it was up there. You got football guys, you got us, and got just everything around, the whole buzz around the whole, really, state of Florida. And the right part of the state of Florida, not Tallahassee area, but just in general. It was love, man. And the football team, I had a lot of friends over there. One of my close friends is Lewis Murphy. St. Pete native, also played there. That was fun, man, to see him get one and me to get one. That was a dream come true.
For sure. That front court is just ridiculous, talking about Noah, Horford, yourself. How much did you learn from Joe and Al during your time together at UF?
Yeah, I learned a lot from John, especially you forgetting about Chris Richard.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, he was a vet on the team. He was the older guy who's been through the ropes, the good and the bad. So just to see those guys in preparation and see they focus every day going to practice, if it's just film or just hard practice or whatever. Those guys was always competing. Those guys was always communicating. Always the loudest ones on the court and just carry themselves like men and professionals what they end up being. So I learned a lot from those, man. Chris just taught me a lot, just taught me the ropes, how to play the game and how to handle certain situations. And I learned a lot from all those guys, man. Those guys was great. Those guys were big brothers to me and just competing every day. So that's what it was all about, going to practice and competing at a high level.
Then you entered the NBA in 2008. You had played really well as a sophomore at UF, and you were selected 16th overall by the Philadelphia 76ers. Walk me through what your draft night experience was like.
Man, the whole thing was a whole movie to me. Man, I come from a place that I never knew that I was going to be in a position to even go to college. I didn't know nothing about college growing up or none of that kind of stuff. So for me to be in the position that I was, to be able to be playing college basketball, then get paid to play basketball and going to the NBA. It was a dream come true, like not really a dream come true because I never dreamed it because I didn't know nothing about it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Just the whole draft process, man, going to these different workouts, flying around the world, going and meeting all these different people was an eye-opener. Like, wow, I'm really doing this, man. I really might have an opportunity to play basketball for money one day. And just the whole draft, like, I remember I was going to pick up a car that I was about to get. And then 76ers called me and like, if you got this certain pick, we're going to get you. And I mean, but you hear that, but you're not really like, all right, yeah, they're just talking. So I ain't go to the draft. I stayed at, I was at my mom, my grandma's house. Everybody's over there. It's probably like 200 people over there watching the draft. And they called me right before I'm about to get picked. So I went into a room, right? I went into a room, man. They called my name. Oh, that was, jeez. I ain't get to hit it last for like the space part because everybody started jumping on me, man. It was emotional. It was crazy. I think the news is there and all that. It was crazy.
That's awesome, man.
It was a blessing. Then the next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was on a flight to Philly.
Wow, man. That's a whirlwind. And then I know actually, you know, in 2009-10, Allen Iverson returned to the Sixers for his last game, you know, the last 25 games of his career. I know that had to be special. Those fans, you know, loved him, obviously. What was it like to kind of witness his return to Philly and the final stretch of his career?
Just like you said, it's a guy like that who did so much in his career, got the whole world started wearing braids and tattoos is a guy who's a walking, like, a star. You see, he's a walking star. So to be able to have him on your team and you watch him since he was a kid play, it was a definitely humbling and amazing experience to see that. He's Mr. Philly. They love him up there. It's him, Meek Mills. Like, those guys get so much love up there. And everywhere you go, that's the first time I witnessed everywhere. Like, everywhere we went, playing on the road, the other team was cheering for him in the starting lineup. Everybody stand up and cheer for him. Like, I never had seen that before I got there. So I was amazed about that. And just him, he's a good person, man. He's a great teammate. He knows a lot about the game, but he enjoys life also. So that was just a dream come true to be able to play on the court with Iverson, man. And I can tell my kids one day that I did that. You know what I mean? So it was amazing. The Philly fans definitely love him up there.
Yeah, I had Larry Hughes and Theo Ratliff on the podcast recently, and everyone raves about the guy. I mean, on the court, off the court, they talk about how he's obviously a tremendous competitor, but an amazing human being, too. So I've heard nothing but great things about him, so I had to ask. I want to ask this. You know, you signed with the Golden State Warriors in 2013-14. That's the same year Andre Iguodala came over. That was right before the Warriors became a juggernaut. When you signed with Golden State, what attracted you to the team, and did you have an idea of how good this team could become?
Man, to be honest, I remember, I think I watched Golden State a little bit before, like, because Golden State was known about you just go out there and beat them every game. You ain't really no fun really going out there. You know what I mean? I wasn't really no fan of the Bay Area like that because I come from here, and I was like, oh, no, I don't really like it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to go out there and play, and I end up playing for them. It just, I knew they always had let the big guys shoot. They was up and down, always run a gun kind of team. I knew that about them. And just, nah, I never thought it would be a situation that they win 73 games, win a championship, change the league, change the way of basketball. Just everybody started liking the Golden State Warriors. Like, nah, I'm not, this is in general, a lot of people didn't really know nothing about the Warriors like that before it started, you know. Before it started when Steph usually went crazy versus Denver. The Warriors went crazy versus Denver and the Spurs. That's when the buzz started.
Yeah. And that's why Iguodala came over too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy time. I mean, but like you said, people weren't talking about them as a champion contender, or a championship contender. People definitely weren't talking about them as this potential dynasty. I mean, it went from 0 to 100 really, really fast.
Yeah, real fast, real fast.
That's
in that whole Bay Area, those fans, and the whole Northern Cali, those fans, the best fans you ever could be around, man. They show you love anywhere you go. A lot of the business, the restaurants, the mall, whatever it is, man, it's like a college town, man. You go out there, they're going to treat you right. They're going to look out for you. And as long as you do the right thing, as long as you live the right way, man, you can basically, that's why a lot of people love the Bay Area, man. You go out there and live and you don't have to never worry about anything, to be honest.
I was always impressed with Warriors fans, too. Even when the team was struggling during the, you know, obviously they had the We Believe year, but even before that, when the team wasn't winning, and like you're saying, players would look at it as an easy win, those fans are still super loyal and filling up the arena and everything. So they get, you know, people talk about Warriors fans now, and they're like, oh, they're bandwagon fans, but they're really not. They were so loyal for many years. So I've always had a lot of respect for that fan base. And I have to ask you, you know, I love the nickname Mo Buckets. Who gave you that nickname? Because that it was around this time, I think, that nickname started kind of getting out there and blowing up. Who gave you the nickname?
Man, it was Coach Frazier, and it was my old teammate Brandon Rush. Man, they the one made that. Brandon Rush kind of like started it. Brandon Rush is like, damn, one game I got in, I scored like 12 or something, like 3-4, like 5 minutes. It's like, damn, Mo Buckets. And then once you said that, everybody caught on. And then after you got it, it just went crazy, man. It's crazy how big they got. And then it still is big. A lot of people still don't, when they see me, they call me that. They don't really know my name sometimes, especially the younger guys. They'll just call me, what's up, Mo Buckets? What's up, Mo Buckets? So,
I love it.
That was definitely a name that stuck out there.
So you kind of talked about this a bit, but the following year, Steve Kerr comes in as head coach. Draymond Green takes on a much bigger role in place of David Lee. There was more small ball being played. You were the leading scorer off the bench and averaged double figures. And then that team won 67 games, won the championship. Not many people can say that they won a championship at both the NCAA and NBA level. What did that mean to you? And do you think winning a title changed anything in your life or changed the way you're perceived?
Oh, my God, yeah. It changed everything. Every aspect of my life. And I got to give a big shout out to the guys who helped me help that dream come true, is to get my teammates, the coaching staff, and just the opportunities with people who fit in those positions. So without those guys, I would probably never be in the situation that I am, to be able to walk around and knowing you got both high school, college and NBA, and that's a blessing, man. I never take it for granted. Sometimes I don't believe it sometimes. So it's a huge accomplishment for sure. And I gotta give respect to all my teammates, all my parents, my friends, and everybody who helped me. So it was a blessing.
That was Coach Kerr's first time as a head coach, which is still crazy, but he obviously had great assistants around him, and he's a smart guy. He had been a GM and everything, but he hadn't been a coach. So what were the biggest differences between Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr and the way they ran the team?
To be honest, it's not that much of a difference to it. There was both player coaches. They both make sure the players kind of like ran the team, but they both had a system. Coach Kerr is way more aggressive with turning the ball over. Like, he hated when guys turned the ball over, and he just wanted all the guys to keep moving on the court. So it wasn't that much a difference, but it was a difference.
And then in 2014, 2015, 2016, Steph Curry was must-watch TV, playing out of his mind. What was it like watching his development from star player to best player in the league, unanimous MVP? I mean, like you said, when he got there, he was playing pretty well and starting to get a lot of hype and definitely playing well. But to get to the level he got to, what was it like watching that development and that ascent?
He's just a good guy, man. I see the guy works every day. It's not something that happened overnight. The guy works. The guy works really hard. And when you see that every day and know that all this stuff what comes with it is because of the work he put in. And that's what some I always tell people who always ask me about it. The guy works. The guy really works hard. You know what I mean? So that's something that I respect about him and all the stuff what he got, what comes to him, what came to him. He deserves it because the guy works off. He works really hard.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, his life is like a fairy tale. It's insane. I mean, from Davidson to being his size to accomplishing what he did, it's incredible. So in 2015-16, you guys obviously go 73-9. You guys are playing out of your mind. How much fun was it to be on a team where every single night you expect to win convincingly and, you know, you go 73-9? What was that like?
The first part of the season, it was like a movie. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't really it wasn't real basketball on the eye standpoint, because everywhere we went was a show. That's what it felt like. That's when we went to 24 in a row.
Yeah.
It was like a show. It was like, and we were just winning games because we know how to win and we know how to finish. We wasn't really playing good basketball. We just was figuring things out and winning when we had to win. But it was just a show, man. The whole thing was a show. The whole year is just like a blur. Like, win a championship and come back the next year and be better than you was. It was crazy.
You mentioned this, but those Warriors teams changed the landscape of the NBA forever. You know, everyone wanted to copy the Warriors model. And more than ever, you saw kids wanting to shoot threes. They wanted to be Steph Curry. Do you ever think about, you know, how much of an impact that team had on the game of basketball and appreciate your role in making history? I feel like NBA players don't sit back and think about their role in it until maybe later on. But do you ever think back to just that team's impact and your role in everything that happened?
You kind of like for me, I don't really think about it right now because it's kind of like still fresh. But yeah, I definitely sometimes think about it because a lot of fans and stuff would be like, man, yeah, that the bench would never be the same as it was when all those guys were on the bench. So that's when I started thinking about it. But yeah, it's crazy that the Warriors teams definitely changed the way of basketball. Guys shooting threes and all that small ball. But one thing they don't understand about the small ball, Draymond always been a big guy his whole career. High school, college, he was always a big guy. So when we started to play a small ball, it wasn't really small ball because Draymond was a big guy. He just was a smaller big guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he know how to guard the bigger guys. He know how to guard those kind of guys. So we had advantage to have a guy like him because he was a big guy his whole career, his whole life.
He's such a unique player. I mean, there's not many guys that can be the defender that he is, but then also be able to average, you know, 7-8 assists per game and be able to handle the ball like he can. He's just, you know, every team would love to have a player like him, but it's just hard to find guys like that. So he's definitely a unique type of player. I mean, we talked about watching Steph Curry's ascent. What was it like seeing Draymond go from being a reserve that wasn't really playing a whole lot to all of a sudden being kind of the X factor in all of this?
Yeah, the guy, like, just like I was saying about the other guys, man, all those guys working. Draymond's another one. He always working. He always want to get better every day. He would never satisfy where he was at. But he's always working, and it's always working to get better mentally and basketball-wise. So just to see those guys, the other guys working, see him grow too, man, it's just a blessing to be a part of. I was a part of those guys, man, to see the development. And the guys keep getting better, man, and hopefully those guys be clicking again soon.
Yeah, that team's going to be scary next year once they're all healthy again, and you got Andrew Wiggins in there and everything. That's going to be a lot of fun. I have to ask you about the 2016 NBA Finals. You guys lose the series, unfortunately, after being up 3-1. Those were, unfortunately, your last few games as a Warrior. How tough was that, and how long did it take you to get over that?
I'm going to tell this story. So the series before that, the OKC, where everybody – That was like a championship itself. I mean, to play against the OKC, we was down 3-1, and then we made it through that series. I didn't think we was gonna get through that series. Just to be honest, I know I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people thought we were gonna get through that, but to be able to get through that series and make it to the Cleveland series. And yeah, like you said, it didn't end how we wanted it to at the end. A lot of things happened in that series that it shouldn't happen. But to be honest, it didn't really hurt me that much because, you know what I mean, it's like in the locker room, man, after the last game, we were saying that early in the year when we was winning games and it came back and hunt us. You see what I'm saying? It came back and hunt us because we was winning all those games and it wasn't really playing good basketball. And then you play against a Cleveland team who already played against you for so many games the year before also, they're going to get onto that. And then they figure it out. So it didn't really hurt me that bad, you know what I mean? Because I know, like, every opportunity I went out there and did my job. I did what I had to do. I did the best I could. And so I didn't leave like I left out there on the court. I just wish I could have helped the team more. You know what I mean? So
that makes sense. That's a good way to look at it. I mean, you don't want it haunting you and struggling with that. So, I mean, I think a lot of times the media or fans will think, oh, you know, that has to be so depressing or whatever. But as players, I know you guys are kind of taught to never get too high, never get too low. So you kind of move on easier. Yeah, that makes sense. So that summer, you went and signed with the Los Angeles Clippers. Does part of you wish you could have stayed with the Warriors and re-signed? You know, they obviously bring in Kevin Durant. We know what happens. You know, does part of you wish you could have stayed with the Warriors longer?
I know because everybody out there loved me, liked me, and I loved them too out there in the whole Oakland area, the staff and all that kind of stuff. I think the reason I didn't go back because they signed KD. Then they signed David West. Then they signed, I forgot, I think they signed Virgil back. And they signed all these guys back before even reaching out to me.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? So it was like a situation that I just did 3 years. I helped this program out a lot. I did a lot for this team and my role I had. How y'all trying to sign all these other guys? Before y'all even reached out to me again. You see what I'm saying?
So that's tough, yeah.
I just knew it. I just knew it was something bigger than what it was. So I was like, all right. And that summer, I had a lot of different teams hitting me up I could have went to. I just chose to go to the Clippers. I could have went to Miami, and that's the year when Miami turned around their program. And the second half of the season, they went on a crazy run. But I chose the Clippers, man. Doc Rivers was a great person, man. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He never lied to me. And that was the first year I would play every game of the year. So that was a blessing. And then I wanted to go back to the Warriors, but at the end of the day, those guys ain't reached back out to me before they reached out to all these other big guys. So I didn't want to be in a situation that I got screwed in minutes after I just came off, you know what I mean, a good 3 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. And again, like we said, you know, when you win a championship, that helps your value around the league too. So, you know, you want to go weigh your options and see what else is out there, especially if you're not hearing from your original team. So you don't want to miss out and then all of a sudden, you know, not be able to go get a contract or get what you want somewhere else in the market. So yeah, that makes sense. I was just curious about what happened there. I have to ask you about this. You went and played in China after playing, you know, you went to Orlando and then you went and played in China. You and I talked about it out at Impact Basketball this past summer, but what was your experience like out in China on the court and off the court? I mean, obviously you're able to experience some different cultures and that had to be interesting. What was it like to be out in China?
Well, I was in Guangzhou. I was in the South City close to Hong Kong, close to Macau. So it was like looking at the United States, it's like being in Florida. So it wasn't, it was better than I expected because I ain't really had no expectations going over there. So I've been over there before and played the Warriors. I mean, with the Warriors, we played the Lakers over there, but it's different when you're going to go over there and stay. So it was, they did the best job to make us, me and my wife, comfortable. So it wasn't bad at all. It was a situation that the only thing that was really bad was the traveling. Every day is going to be minimum 6 hours because you got to drive 2 hours to the airport. You know, sitting at the airport for so long. It's not like the NBA just hopping a plane. We ain't doing that. I mean, you got to get your own badge. You got to get out in the cold and all this kind of stuff. That's the only thing I didn't really like about it was the traveling part. But the basketball-wise, it's better than what a lot of people expect over there. Those guys are physical. Those guys are big. And there's some basketball players over there. So the basketball standpoint is good. It was better than I expected. Also, just the fans is good. Like, the fans is good. And in certain cities, it's hard to get certain kind of food. But the city I was in, you had more instant cows. You had Outback instant cows. You had Pizza Hut, KFC, McDonald's, all that kind of stuff. A nice steak restaurant, so it wasn't really that bad for me.
Yeah, that's good. And you mentioned the travel. I know I talked to a few different players that were, you know, playing in the Chinese Basketball Association this year whenever the coronavirus thing was all kind of happening, and they were talking about how if one of the players in the CBA had tested positive, kind of like Rudy Gobert did, it would have been really bad because those guys are traveling every day, like you're saying, and you're on commercial flights, it would have spread so much worse and impacted a ton of people. So fortunately, you know, it seemed like they were all home whenever the outbreak started happening because of Chinese New Year. So it worked out timing wise, and then they suspended the league very quickly. But yeah, I mean, that could have been really bad because, yeah, the travel is way different over there. Yeah, and I want to ask you about this. You recently announced that you're joining the Big Three for this upcoming season. Big men who score well really dominate in that league. There's a lot of big men that just do really well in that 3-on-3 environment. How excited are you, and what attracted you to the Big Three?
Man, I'm very excited to be a part of a great entertainment they put on the court, man. But like basically last year, just watching last year a couple of games, I'm like, man, that's fun. But I never thought I'd be playing it this quick. But so I've just been, for me and where I'm at in my career, I feel like that's the best opportunity for me right now because I got a lot of stuff going on outside of the basketball with business stuff and just being around your family. So to be able to go there and play basketball at a high level on all different kind of television platforms, it's good. And guys going to see that. Every league in the world going to see that, oh, Mo is in great shape. He's out here looking good and he's playing. He's going to be playing good. So that's another standpoint for me that if I do want to make another run at NBA or wherever else, this is a platform to get me there. I'm still young, got a lot of basketball left. And this is just for right now for my family and friends and family. This is the best move for me right now. I could have went over different places this year and played, but I want to take a time off to work on my business stuff and also to play basketball. And this is the best platform for me. Those guys created a great platform for guys who still want to play basketball, but got a lot of business stuff going on too.
Yeah, no, that's very smart. I mean, there was a we saw that last year where Joe Johnson was able to turn his opportunity into an NBA situation. We've seen that with other guys in the past. Last time you and I saw each other, you were at your free agent workout for NBA teams at Impact Basketball. You'd have interest in getting back into the NBA if the situation was right. And are you going to be doing more kind of like free agent workouts? And obviously, the big three is a way to showcase your game and everything. But you do have interest in getting back in the NBA if possible?
Like you said, it depends on the situation and depends on what, you know what I mean, more stuff what goes in. That NBA is really the grind, man. You're really paying your body through a lot of pain, not a lot of stress for 8 months. So if the right situation comes, yeah, I'll definitely give another try. But for me, with the workouts and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be different because I'm already going to be playing. Because that's what you see me, for me. God just wants to see how I look, my body. Nobody never questions my like to play. It's just my body, and I'm over there, I'm looking and see if I'm moving right. God's for sure going to have interest in me. And that's the only thing right now I've been working for the last 4 months, just on my body, getting my body in great shape. But, you know what I mean? That's the only thing I've been working on. If opportunity comes, I'll definitely look into it.
For sure. You mentioned your businesses and wanting to stay involved with that, which is why you didn't want to go overseas. You know, we talked about your trucking business. You and I were talking about that, TMS Trucking. What are some of the business endeavors you have going on in your trucking business? How did that come together?
Well, I got a lot of different things going on right now, but mostly the most important thing is my trucking business. I just been learning it over time, even when I was in China, aspects of it. And I decided to give it a try, man. It's been going good, especially right now. A lot of people need a lot of groceries and all the kind of stuff. So the guys out there in there driving, delivering stuff out on the road, it's a plus for me, and a plus for me to be a part of it because a lot of people, like I said, need this kind of stuff. So the trucking business for me is doing great, and I hope to expand it to bigger and better things. And I just feel like that's my passion. Other than basketball right now, it's the trucking industry.
How did you get into that? How did you learn about it and decide that's what you wanted to, that's the kind of business you want to start? I'm just curious.
Just like I said, when I was in China, I used to read different stuff, but I knew somebody was in it.
Oh, okay.
Kind of helping this lady who was in it. But she was kind of teaching me a little bit. Then we stopped talking about that. And I just said, man, I'm just going on them and try it myself. I know a lot about it right now. And I still got a lot of stuff to learn, man, just different stuff, but I just want to give it a try, man. I feel like if I do something, I'll go all in, and that's how I've always been. So it's been a success right now, but it's going to be better down the road.
Nice. Well, congrats, man. That's cool to hear. I'm glad you're having success there.
Thank you.
Last thing, I want to ask you about this. You and I got to know each other mainly through your off-season workouts with Joe Bunisar at Impact Basketball out in Las Vegas. When I had Al Harrington on the podcast, he talked about training alongside Kawhi Leonard whenever Kawhi was going through his pre-draft stuff, and he was super impressed with Kawhi and his work ethic. Are there any younger guys who impressed you with their work ethic or their talent over the years when you've been training at Impact? You know, part of the cool thing about Impact is you get to see all the pre-draft guys and the young guys before maybe all the mainstream, the people, the fans can see them. Over the years, are there any stories of guys impressing you or you seeing a guy during pre-draft and realizing this guy's going to be really good?
Well, for me, I wasn't really out there around that time, but I did see Kawhi. I did work out with him a few times. Him and a kid named Michael Thomas, his teammate at San Diego State, making a good career overseas. But like just to sit down and work out and watch guys, it's kind of like it wasn't really no guys. I really just did that and watched. But Kawhi for sure, I watched him a little bit though. But and the guy Michael Thomas, I said, but that's about it. It's not really nobody else. So they'll usually work out early, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the older guys come in and work out a little later.
I remember Kawhi's year when I went out to Impact, Alec Burks was there too. And I remember like going into the pre-draft that year, everyone was like, oh, Alec Burks is going to be the top pick. He was projected to go higher than Kawhi. And Kawhi was being slept on so much. And then eventually he started doing well in workouts and getting more love and stuff. But then, of course, he falls to 15, which was so shocking. When you saw Kawhi during his pre-draft, I was really impressed with his shooting because everyone was saying, oh, he's a great defender, great athlete, monster hands and everything. But there were questions about his shot. But at Impact, he was, you know, shooting the ball really well. What do you remember from seeing Kawhi from that period?
Me and Kawhi was on the same team when they had a lockout year. That's when he got drafted, right? Lockout year before that.
It's a right around
there.
We had
the summer league out there.
Yeah, yeah.
We had the little league out there.
The lockout league, man. Good times.
Yeah, we had that. Nah, so I remember Kawhi. He was I always knew he was a great defender and big hands and just calm, man. He didn't really try to overdo things. At that time, he just wanted to really like shoot the ball all the time. It's like so. If you see him from then and see him now, you can kind of tell like the whole ground that he's going to become one of the best players in the league for sure.
That's awesome. How many words did Kawhi say to you as your teammate throughout the entire lockout league? Because I feel like he's quiet to everyone.
Nah, he just kind of got to keep to himself, man. You're working silence. And I used to just say what's up to him or something like that, but nothing like to sit down with really talk. Nah, it's not really. I mean, it wasn't really like that. It was a small talk. It ain't nothing too much.
For sure. Well, Mo, I appreciate you doing this, man. I know things are crazy right now, so thanks for making time for us here. Thanks so much for this, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Make sure you guys all go follow Mo on Twitter at MoSpade16. And if you guys want to hear more episodes of the Hoopsite podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. And until next time, thanks for listening.